today's reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we are off and running on a Thursday in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. And we want to welcome you to the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. And we pray that not only will you tune in to this radio station during the Refresh Radio program, but throughout the week. And so as I'm looking here, we are not that far away from the spring offering that helps keep the broadcast of WMIE going across the airwaves. That begins February the 21st, I believe. 632-1000 if you would like to be a part of what God is doing here at WMIE, and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. I also want to let you know today that one of the reasons that we are enabled to be here are because of wonderful people at Merit Assembly of God. Also, people like Carla and Dennis at Wyrick Air, where they have been providing professional sales and services and repairs in air conditioning situations. Can we hear it? For solving heating problems as well, and electrical fields for over 40 years. They work in residential and commercial settings and provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible and an affordable price. And when you're cold and your heater's out, that's an affordable, whatever price it is, it's an affordable price. So if you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. And I want to encourage you. Winter will not last forever. It'll seem like just a day or two until the cold weather is gone and the hot weather has come in and take its place. And at that point in time, you're going to be wondering, why is my air conditioner not working? Give the call the folks at Wyrick Air a phone call, 632-9538. So today we are going to go to the Word in 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, and we are going to begin reading in verse number 16, 1 John 3:16, and it says this: by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So today we are going to talk about another aspect of that which is partnered with seeking the truth of God, and that is that we discover that love is partnered with truth. Whenever somebody lies to me, I just assume that they think that I'm an idiot. I assume that they think that I've got an L written on my forehead and that I can't get that off, and that they don't respect me. And My wife is the one who actually came up with that concept of, you know, having something written on her forehead. And so every once in a while I would say something to her, and it would be blatantly obvious to her already, and she would just start rubbing her forehead with the back of her hand, trying to, and I said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm just trying to get that, you know, that mark off my forehead that makes you think I'm stupid. And I was like, well, I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to do that. She's a very bright, intelligent woman and very gifted at what she does. But sometimes you just don't realize what someone knows at that particular time. So, we find here in 1 John 3:18 that along with seeking truth, that you will find love in action. And so in verse number 8, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed. So there are three different options. Really, it's just two different options. One of them's just kind of accentuated in a slightly different manner, in word or in tongue. And in the things that you say, there are a lot of people who know how to say that they love, but they don't really know how to demonstrate that they love. When you love someone, that there is going to be two things. There is going to be the truth, and there's going to be actions that are manifested because of that truth. So I find it fascinating that in our culture, that when we are pursuing love, that many times people put on a false persona. They put their best foot forward. They appear to be on their best behavior, even though it's not their normal behavior. And you know, then there's the other temptation that comes with our society, and that is, okay, we're going to act like that we're in love, but in truth, we're not being honoring in this situation. And so I will tell you that love and lust are two different things altogether. Two different things altogether. One of them is about seeking your own gratification. The other is about doing what is right, what is loving, what is honorable in the sight of God. And so we've got to be people who not only talk a good game about loving people, but we need to be demonstrating that as well. So if I love my wife, it is going to impact the way that I treat her. It's going to impact the way that I speak to her. It's going to impact the amount of time that I spend with her. When we were dating, it impacted the time that we were on the phone. I'm not a person that really likes to spend a lot of time on the phone, but if I'm going to be on the phone, I think one of the greatest inventions of all time was the cordless telephone. And so I walk all over the place whenever I'm talking on the phone, and sometimes I walk and the people on the, did you just walk into a dead zone? And they know that I just walk. Okay. But when we were dating, even though I did not spend much time on the phone prior to that, we were in two different cities, and I was about 700 miles away from her, and we'd spend hours on the phone. And that was back when just a long distance call was crazy, outrageous, expensive. But because we wanted a relationship based on truth, and we were still getting to know one another, then we acted upon that. So let me tell you that if you want a relationship that will last and a relationship that is true, you've got to make sure that your relationship with your spouse or your future spouse does not take precedence over your relationship with God. Your relationship with God enables you to be able to love. And so if you want to love your spouse to the best of your God-given ability, you need to make sure that you are in love with Jesus first, because he is the source of love. So you've got to make that relationship a priority, and he helps you through the difficult life. Loving people is hard work. Trying to do it without Jesus is even harder. The second thing I will tell you about your relationship with your future spouse is you've got to make sure that your actions of love are honorable. And by that, I mean you honor God and you honor them. Statistically, I know that this is not going to be a popular thing to hear in 2022, but the statistics bear out that if you want your relationship to fail, all you do is you jump the gun and you start living together and loving together before you are in a covenant relationship. And at that point in time, the statistical odds of your relationship failing have just gone up astronomically. And I know that society is saying love is love, but I'm here to tell you that God has the best, because he created the concept of love, because it emanates out of his nature, and everybody wants to be loved, but we have to love and be loved according to the standards of God's word. So we want God to order those steps, and we want him to direct our path, and we want him to empower us and him to change us so that we can love not just in word or deed, but we can love in truth. So when you love a person and it is an unconditional love, then you know there are going to be times when I'm going to see them not at their best. There are going to be times when there's going to be some challenges, but those challenges aren't when you reach for the escape hatch. Those challenges are when you press into Jesus so that you can overcome. Now, there are some things that people do. We live in a fallen world. There are people who are abusive, and you should not be staying in a relationship where you are being physically harmed. You just shouldn't do it. If it's you or your kids, you don't stay where there is abuse. There are also times where there is unfaithfulness, and you need the wisdom of God on how to proceed in that situation. And it's really great at that point in time if you have a church and a pastor where you can have them to help you through the process. And we're very thankful. We're very thankful for the church at Merit Assembly of God. When people are hurting, they just rally around. And what a privilege it is to pastor Merit Assembly of God. So the partnership with truth is that we love in action. Now, I can tell you that I have known people that they fell in love with people, but the person they fell in love with was fraudulent with them. That's why love and truth need to be coupled together. You need to make sure that you know the person, know them really, really well, make sure that they're sitting under the ministry of God's word. If you turn over just a few pages to the right, towards the back of the book, in 2 John, verse number 1, it says this: "The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever." So once again, we see that there is this partnership between truth and love. If you go just to the next page, 3 John, verse number 1, "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth." So if you are having to lie to the person that you say that you love, there's a problem. There's a problem. And so you and I need to make sure that we are loving in with the right motives and loving in the right actions. So now I want to take you back to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to get there here in just a second. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 11 is where we'll begin reading. We'll read down to verse number 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So this love that we have is not only a love for God, it is not only a love for our spouse, but it is a love for the body of Christ. And here the partnership between truth and love manifests in the way that we communicate. We speak the truth in love. I know a person one time, and they were addressing their spouse, and they were calling them all sorts of horrible, demeaning names. And the first thing that I thought of when I heard that was, my wife would seriously hurt me if I said things like that to her. The second thing that I thought of is, why would a person think that you could speak to your spouse that way and that that is going to have a great return on your investment of words? If you are demeaning your spouse, you are attacking yourself. If you are demeaning your coworkers, you are undermining the team as a whole. If you are attacking the people of your church, you know, there's the old joke about people going out to have barbecue pastor after the service on Sunday morning. And if you're attacking the body of Christ, whether you're the pastor and you're attacking the congregation, or the congregation and you're attacking the pastor, you don't want any of that. That's not speaking the truth in love. And as a result of that, it is going to hinder your ability to grow, to mature. I know people who say horrible, horrible things to their spouse in front of their children. And I will tell you, that will not get you the harvest that you think it will. Okay? Guys, your wife, her biggest cheerleader should be you. Wives, your husband, you ought to be his biggest fan. You are given the privilege by God to apply the healing balm to one another, the healing balm of God, to a world that is hostile and attacking the men of God and the women of God. And when we come together, we need to be speaking the truth of God in love to one another that vanquishes the fiery darts that have been lobbed against them, sometimes by jealous coworkers, sometimes by ungodly people. And when we come home, we need to say, you know what? This is going to be a place of truth. It's going to be a place of love, and it's going to be a place where we can grow together. So may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, the anointed one of God. So you gave your heart to Jesus. That's wonderful. Praise God. We celebrate. We rejoice over that. Now let's get to growing. Let's get to growing. We need to become more like Jesus. So I want to ask you, do you want Jesus talking to you the way that you talk to your spouse? Because with whatever measure you use, that will be the measure that is used on your or towards you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If you spend all of your time blasting and attacking your spouse for their shortcomings, you only know what you know. Do you really want Jesus spending all of your time with him blasting you for your frailties, for your failings, for your shortcomings, for your sins? Because he's never going to have an incorrect perception. And so, you know, that good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men pour into your bosom. That works both ways. For good seed that has been sown, or for bad seed that has been sown, that's the way that it comes back. So from Christ, the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. So I want you to know that it's not only one member of a relationship, it is both members of the relationship, and God wants to knit together family units into a church community where we can grow in Christ and we can reach the rest of our community with the love of Jesus Christ. So, I want to invite you, if you want to grow in your relationship, I want to invite you to Merit Assembly of God. Our goal for this year is to do exactly what is talked about here in Ephesians, to grow joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. It is not one person doing everything. It is every part of the body doing what it was created to do for the glory of God. By which every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. So I told the congregation here a few weeks ago that one of the hardest parts of my job should actually be one of the easiest parts of my job, and that is recruiting people to get involved in ministry. Through the years, I've had people, and they were attending, and they were faithful, and I would go and to these pastors' conferences, and they'd say, you just need to give your people an opportunity to serve. And so I would go up and I'd say, hey, would you pray about getting involved in this particular ministry? You've got experience here. Would you serve? And they would leave and they would never come back. And it didn't just happen once. It happened over and over again. And so it becomes risky. It becomes risky. It should be one of the easiest things in the world to do. If the Spirit of the living God is living inside of you, the pastor shouldn't have to be dragging people into service. He should be giving them the opportunity to use their gifts for the glory of God. Every part is supposed to do its share. And when that happens, that causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself, get this, in love. In love. So when you are speaking the truth in love, the person doing the communicating and the person or doing the speaking and the person doing the hearing should both have the same goal, and that is this: how is this conversation going to result in my growth in Jesus Christ? That's where we are. Our relationship with God should result in us growing in Christ, and then when we communicate with one another, We're both going to be supplying our part, and we are going to cause the body to grow, and the body is going to be edifying itself in love. I want to throw this out there to you, because the church, because of the Spirit of God, I talked about this on yesterday's program a little bit, that the Spirit of God inside of us compels us that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are supposed to be witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, that the body is supposed to be supernaturally empowered to carry the good news of Jesus Christ to those who have not heard and have not known. Many times in doing that, we bless ourselves because the people who get won to Jesus end up helping us to grow in our walk with God. So, can you imagine how grateful the body of Christ should be for a guy by the name of Ananias? We should be thanking God for Ananias. Ananias was a man who lived in Damascus. He was a lover of God, and Jesus had just confronted Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul couldn't see, and Ananias gets a visit by God, and God says, I want you to go and I want you to pray for him, and I want you to open his eyes. I want you to heal his vision. And Ananias says, I don't think I should do that. That guy kills Christians. And Jesus said, I've told him you're coming already. And he goes and he says, Brother Saul, and helped Saul in his journey. Can you look at the blessing? Barnabas ends up training Paul, and Paul and Barnabas go on missions journeys. And because of those two men, because of Paul, or because of Barnabas and because of Ananias, we are blessed. We are edified today as a church because they believed in a man that was once hostile to the faith, had a blessing for the people of faith. And I want to tell you today, we need to be reaching the lost because there's a blessing out there. Jesus died to save them, but he saved them for a purpose, or he's going to save them for a purpose, and that purpose is going to be edifying the church. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@Hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.